Sometimes when we sing songs, you know, songs can preach. And I tell you, that song, The Goodness of God, can preach. It really can preach. We're so happy that you are here today. And this is known as Mother's Day. This is a day that restaurants all across the nation look forward to. It's the number one. I've been told it's like the number one restaurant day. They make the most money. They're the most packed out. And, you know, that's all good. Maybe it's because husbands, maybe you're good. Yeah, are not that good of a cook, right? So that's a blessing maybe for moms and that kind of thing. I grew up in a household that was different. My dad did all the cooking. I now, after almost 38 years of wonderful marital bliss, understand why my dad did all the cooking. Because my mom was an educator, a teacher. And if you are a teacher, you're exhausted. You don't have any energy left when you come home. You just got to sit and plop. And hopefully one of your children or your spouse will give you a cup of, hot chocolate or a cup of coffee or hot tea or something to that nature. So anyway, it's a real joy that we can honor moms today. And as we do, there is something for all of us in God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn with me. We've been traveling through Hebrews, and there's much to say about godly women and godly motherhoods, but today we want to continue our focus on Hebrews because it really speaks to all of us. Whether we are dads or moms or sons or daughters, if we follow Jesus, we are called a disciple. A disciple. A disciple is someone who has committed their life to follow Jesus. And as we come to Hebrews, we discover here in the middle of this sermon. It is a sermon. Many Bible scholars believe that this whole book of Hebrews is a New Testament sermon. It should start from verse 1 and then go all the way through the end of the book to preach it. And so that's kind of exciting to see a New Testament sermon. But in the middle of this, where the author is coming to really reveal to the Hebrew reader, that Hebrew who has said, yes, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to follow him. But through the course of their activity, just to remind us a little bit, they were getting weary a little bit. They were growing weary in their walk with God, and they started doubting their faith and their commitment in Jesus. They were probably going through things like, well, is Jesus really the Son of God? I don't know anymore. Is he really greater than Moses? Come on, really? Or Abraham? Or Joshua? This Jesus, did he really rise again? They said he did. Is he coming back? He hasn't come back. Maybe we should go back to our Jewish faith, our Jewish traditions, and study the Mosaic law and incorporate that in our life. And then it's, you know, all that plus Jesus. Sometimes today we go through society and we think we need more than just Jesus. We don't. All we need is Jesus. Jesus only. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He's greater than Moses. Hebrews tells us this. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Joshua. He's even greater than Melchizedek, the high priest. And in the middle of that truth, the writer is saying, listen, Jesus is our high priest. He paid the sacrifice once and for all. So God exalted him. And in the middle of that, it seems the writer now takes a prelude, and he says in verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 3, there's this little prelude here, this little interruption, this little interlude, so to speak, not a prelude, but an interlude, of saying, hey, I want to tell you this so you can grasp the deep things of God. It is hard work to be a follower of Jesus. Since my mom was an educator, she loved children and really did. I would marvel at how she could handle kids. They'd come in, and she ran a daycare in a private school, and they would come in all crying because they didn't want to be away from mom and dad, rightfully so. And she'd say, oh, well, come with me. Look at the butterfly. And then they'd be distracted and suddenly forget that mom and dad had to go to work. She had that gift. And there, you may recall the little shows before, you know, Sesame Street. Sesame Street was a great show because it had Ernie and Bert and Grover. Man, I like Grover. Grover, you know, and Oscar. And Oscar lived in a garbage can, you know. And then Big Bird. You can't forget Big Bird. We love Sesame Street. And they always would have a song in the show that says, one of these things doesn't belong here. One of these things isn't the same. And you would try to look at that and say, okay, what do those pictures have in common? Well, the three pictures behind me, they have something in common. You say, what? They have something in common. What do they have in common? They have something in common. Yes, eating. Eating, right? You have the baby who is eating baby food saying, really? And then you have the young lady saying, yeah, this is where it's at. This great, juicy, wonderful, delicious hamburgers, right? Then the result of eating too many hamburgers. Amy Grant wrote a song years ago. You may have heard it. Her lyrics were this. I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell. He might even be you. He knelt at the altar, and that was the end. He saved. He's saved, and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week, he gets his spiritual lunch. On Sunday, he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle, and he don't mean maybe. He sampled solid food once or twice, but he says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's been baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, but his daily devotions are stuck in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible in John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you've ever seen. I've always wondered if he'll grow up someday. He's mama's boy, and he likes it that way. If you happen to see him, tell him I said he'll never grow if he never gets fed. He's just a fat, 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 fat little baby. Charles Stanley says this. He says, spiritual maturity comes not merely by hearing God's word, but by putting it into practice. As we obey God and he transforms our character into the likeness of his own, our spiritual discernment grows stronger. We think more like he does. We hear him more clearly. We increasingly obey the promptings of his spirit, and we are progressively more able to make decisions that honor him. One scholar wrote this in the Life Application Bible Study notes. He says this, salvation turns a person toward heaven and inaugurates a life of discipleship with the living Christ. It is God's vote for you, God's invitation to you, God's energy invested in you. Salvation is the reason you can smile in the morning and rest in the evening. God loves you, and you belong to him. If you have the word open, let's look at this passage this morning, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, and we'll read through chapter 6, verse 3. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the world and the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. The easy-to-read version of Scripture says this: so we should be finished with the beginning lessons about Christ. We should not have to keep going back to where we started. We began our new life by turning away from the evil we did in the past and by believing in God. That's when we were taught about baptisms, laying hands on people, the resurrection of those who've died, and the final judgment. Now we need to go forward to more mature teaching. Here we see that the writer of Hebrews is definitely concerned with the believers that he is writing to, because it seems that discipleship is hard work, but it has become so hard for them that they are struggling. They are struggling. What difference does it make, they may say, to follow this Jesus? I pray. I don't see any answer. I go to church. I don't hear any word. He doesn't seem to care about me and my needs. So why should I follow him? If that is the attitude of your heart, the thinking in your mind, and that is the atmosphere that you're finding yourself in this morning, oh, with all sincerity, beloved, don't listen to that lie. God loves you so incredibly much. He cares about what is going on in your life incredibly much. He knows every number of the hairs on your head, or the lack of hair on your head, or the hair that's falling out of your head. The Lord knows. He knows. In fact, last week he says that Jesus qualifies to be the high priest because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So he knows the struggle. He knows the heartache. He knows the issues, and he calls us to follow him. But the problem that the Hebrews were facing, it was for them, discipleship was hard work, and it became hard work because the message that was the gospel was no longer heard. No longer heard. The writer says about this, we have much to say. We have much to tell you. We have much to teach you, but it's hard to explain. It's difficult for you to hear. It's hard to make it clear. It's muddied in your listening. Why? Because you no longer try to understand the message. It's your spiritual ears have become dull in listening. When the Savior is speaking, when God is talking, you no longer can distinguish his voice. And it might be because of the loudness of the world in your life and your heart and your mind. It might be because you're running so fast, you're so busy, so you're so filled with, I've got to do this and that and this and that and this and that, that you haven't slowed down enough to quiet your soul, to allow the still small voice of God Almighty to speak to your heart and to revive you. The believers here were struggling because they no longer heard. Now, I know as you grow older, to be a senior saint, it's a blessing. And one of the blessings that you get to have is you start to lose your hearing. And one of the blessings is you can get a hearing aid. And then that hearing aid, you can put it in your ear. It's so small now, nobody knows you've got one. And if you don't like the conversation that you're hearing, you can just turn it off and smile. And no one knows if you're listening or not. May I challenge you, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, that you do not turn off your spiritual hearing aid when the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, is speaking to your heart. That you listen, and do not neglect the message. What is the message? Oh, the message is the Word of God. The Word of God is the message in this chapter. How amazing is the Word of God? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to divide and go into the person's heart and soul and convict of sin to the joints and marrow. And it can shape us and it can equip us because the Holy Spirit of God is teaching us and molding us and changing us to be more like Jesus. So in those moments when we do not want to be loving and kind, we want to take somebody's head off, the Spirit of God comes in and says to us, no, 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 don't you do that. Show them the love of Christ. And then you turn the other cheek. Or you give a kind word instead of an angry word. We might say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know the kind of ridicule I face. You don't know kind of the opinions that are expressed to me. Everybody's giving me hatred and opinions. And they say that their political view is the correct view. And so they show hatred and it's like venom. That's why Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, We're to pray for our enemies, and we're to show them the love of Christ. We're to pour a cup of cold water and give them in the midst of their anger. And that can only be accomplished if we listen to God's Spirit speaking to us. Oh, let us open up our ears. Jesus always said this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Discipleship is hard in verse 12 because it is neglected. Verse 12 again tells us that for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God, or as other translations say, you need someone to teach you God's holy word all over again. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of the gospel because you've neglected the message. You should be a teacher by now. You should be a master by now. You should be teaching others, but you're not. You should teach the basic principles of the beginning words of God. These Jewish believers, these Christians, they were not growing in their walk with the Lord. They were immature. Some of them should have been teaching others, but they had not even applied the basics to their own lives. They were reluctant to move beyond age-old traditions, established doctrines, and discussions of the basics. They wouldn't be able to understand the high priestly role of Jesus unless they moved out of their comfortable position, cut some of their Jewish ties, and stopped trying to blend in with their culture. Commitment to Christ moves people out of their comfort zones. Wow. Discipleship is hard, verses 13 and 14. When the disciple, the follower of Jesus, remains immature versus mature. 13 and 14 says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Says they are wanting to be on milk. And because they are on milk, they are not acquainted with righteousness. Yet those on solid food, notice, that's for the mature, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I've asked Ben Griffin to come on up. Benny, come on up. He's going to help me this morning. And as he comes, he's scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. In fact, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm grateful for him, thankful for him. So, I have a takeout tray here, Ben. So, Ben, tell me, what's your favorite food?
A banana.
A banana is your favorite food. Do you like a banana better than McDonald's French fries?
Yes.
Yes, he likes it. Mom, wow. He likes, do you like the banana better than chicken nuggets?
Yes.
Yes. Now, if you had a choice today of what to eat, what would you like to eat? A banana?
Yes.
You'd eat a banana, huh? I don't have a banana. If I'd have known that. But I do have this for you. But I don't know if you really want to eat it. I've got a jar of baby food. And it's your favorite. Beech nut naturals, spinach, zucchini, and peas. Would you like this?
Thank you.
Mom, he's so polite. He said, "No, thank you." You don't want this. I'll give it to you free. You can have this and you can eat it, and it's so nutritious. It's 40 calories. Look at that. It's got 7 grams of your daily allowable fiber. No, total carbs is 7 grams. Sorry, fiber is only 2 grams, so got to add some more in there. Banana, huh? You'd rather have a banana than this?
Okay.
So would you? Any adult would want this? I don't think so, okay? All right. Well, okay, yeah, I even had a spoon and plate for you, but I wasn't going to do that. How about this? Okay, it's not a banana, but maybe you can share it with your mom, or if your sisters don't get on to you, okay? They have bananas there, but it's Panera. It's a gift card from Panera. Would you take that? You'll take that? Yeah. Is this, okay, do you want the baby food or this? You want this. Okay, he wants the gift card. All right, good. Good choice. Thank you. All right, you don't want this?
No, thank you.
Okay, it goes back into the tray. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ben. Let's give Ben a good hand of applause. Yeah. To quote a movie, he chose wisely. Didn't he? Right? And I don't know about you this morning. I wouldn't eat that baby food because I'm not a baby. And most of us are adults here this morning or teenagers, and we're not babies anymore. And some of us have been walking with the Lord a long time, and yet we've, dare I say it, neglected moving deeper with Christ. And we just want baby food. Discipleship is hard. Because we should be a discipler, we should be a teacher, but we're satisfied with no growth. In fact, the Greek says that we're kind of, these believers, they were sluggish. They were sluggish in their growth, going backwards instead of progressing. They were regressing in their faith. Discipleship is also hard when the disciple begins to engage in spiritual growth. And this is chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, and what's the therefore? Therefore, the writer says, let us, to those who are sluggish, those who are wanting milk instead of the meat, those, he's saying, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and then go on to maturity. In other words, let us get up and grow in Christ and move deeper with him. Let's be taken forward to maturity. Let's not, again, have to relearn what God has taught us, but let's apply it to our lives so that we are building upon what God has taught us in the beginning. Let's move beyond these elementary teachings. We need to grow deeper in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. And he goes on and lays out what those areas are of those foundations of repentance. Repentance from dead works. In other words, you're not just going through the motions. You're not just trying to work and earn your way to heaven. You're not just trying to just be ritualistic without any real heart transformation meaning. You are not just pretending to be a follower, but you genuinely are born again. And you haven't abandoned the Savior. You haven't given up. You haven't fallen away. In fact, the Hebrew writer mentioned that earlier on. He says in chapter 2, verse 1 of Hebrews, therefore we must pay attention, closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. So he's saying, therefore, move beyond the basics of faith. Move beyond those elementary teachings. So the discipleship, it's hard work. It engages, it means spiritual growth. Got to do the basics. Now this will cost me this morning, but I love my sons. It cost me because I have this thing where if I use them, I have to pay them $5 for an illustration. So it's going to cost me. But they're wonderful. They really are. Both of them, they're amazing. They're wonderful. I'm very proud of them. So my youngest, he wanted to get physically fit, and he wanted to work out. And so we were trying to figure out what's the best gym to join and where can you go for the best value for the dollar. And they were telling me, Dad, you can't go to this certain place because they don't allow the big free weights. You got to have the free weights. And I said, okay. And they said, well, you can go with us. So we started going to this one gym. And there's this exercise that they use, and you might know it. I can't do it. 5x5. And it's a 5x5. You do 5 exercises, 5 reps, 5 times? See, I'm going to get it wrong. But anyway, you have a bar, and the bar is just 40 pounds. And then you got to do these crazy exercises with this bar on your shoulder to start off with. And then you gradually add weight as you go. It's to get you fit, physically fit, okay? So we started out great. We started out gangbusters. They were letting me tag along with them, and they were helping me. And they were telling me what to do, what not to do. They were training me up in the right way to do it. And, of course, I was a very, very poor student. I haven't gone back to the gym since, I don't know when. And I definitely don't desire to do those 5x5s because they hurt. You know, it's hard work. It's hard work, but it's basic. There's basic things you got to do before you can progress. I can't pick up 180 pounds on my shoulders. You got to start with a 40-pound empty bar before you can work up to that. But you have to be disciplined. You have to do it every day, these different exercises, in order to progress, in order to go deeper and get stronger. with the Lord. These disciples, they were forgetting the basics of the faith, and they were forgetting how to go deep with the Lord. Notice in verse 2, it states there, it says in verse, second half of verse 1, it says, not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, and of instruction about baptism or the washings. They were struggling between the ceremonial washings of the Jewish tradition as well as the Christian baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. So they were saying, what does a believer need to know? What does a believer need to learn? Well, they need to know these basic truths and then build upon them instead of forget them. They need to apply Scripture to their life so that they can grow upon that foundation and move deeper with God. But the tragedy that these believers were facing was that it was so hard for them that they were even denying God working in their life. They didn't rely upon Him. Verse 3 says this. Says, the writer says, he's a great encourager, a great exhorter. He says, and this we will do. We're going to do this. What are we going to do? We are going to leave the elementary truths of what we've already learned, we're going to apply that to our life. We're going to build upon that, and so we can grow deeper with God. And as we grow deeper with God, we're going to do this, but we're going to rely upon God, His Holy Spirit, teaching us the truths that we need to know. We're not going to deny Him working in our life, and we're not going to walk away from Him. We're going to grow up. We're going to press on. We're going to become mature in Christ. This we will do. This we will do. God permitting, we will do this. We will set our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This we will do and follow Him and be more like Him. We will become a mature believer in Christ and not a fat, 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 fat baby. A mature Christian listens attentively and intentionally, teaches and disciples others, desires to learn the deep things of God, knows the teaching about righteousness, has mastered the basics of faith and moves toward deeper, wiser in their relationship. They show spiritual discernment, knowing right from wrong, choosing to do right. In order to grow from an infant Christian to mature Christians, we must learn that discernment, listening to our Savior's voice when He speaks. We must train our conscience, our senses, our mind, our body to distinguish good from evil. Can you recognize temptation before it traps you? Can you tell the difference between a correct use of Scripture and a mistaken one? We need to do what Luke tells us to do. When Jesus said this, He said to them all, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. This morning the question is, do you want to go deeper with Jesus? Do you want to be that disciple who can do the hard work, knowing that you're relying upon His strength, relying upon His Spirit to help you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord? Or would you just prefer to remain a fat, fat baby? I pray that you will take the time today, tomorrow, to again, if God is speaking to you, to rebuild in your life the spiritual discipline to meet alone with the Lord, to get in the Word of God, to allow God's Spirit to speak to your heart and discover the deep, rich truths that He has for you, and allow Him to mold and shape you so that in the time of temptation to evil, you can say no. And in the time of weakness, you can be strong. And in the time when you're doubting, you can trust in Him for wisdom. And in the time when you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you can shine for Jesus boldly, courageously, knowing that you will receive a reward from him because he is faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our heart this morning. We do confess sometimes, Lord, the things of this world, the desires for material things or the pride of life or even the lust of the flesh. Lord, sometimes we just covet that so much, we allow those things like weeds to squeeze out the beautiful flower that you want to produce in us. Forgive us of those times when we've neglected your word. Forgive us of those times when our senses to you have become dull. We don't hear your voice. Forgive us of those times, Lord, when we have regressed and not progressed in our walk with you. Forgive us of those times, Lord, when we have denied your Holy Spirit to work a supernatural, powerful work within our lives, and yet we're relying on our own strength to accomplish something we cannot do. So, Lord, we come thanking you for the promise of your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That if we humble ourselves before you, you are faithful and just. As we turn away from our wicked ways, that you will hear, that you will forgive, that you will heal and restore. So, Lord, I pray that you'll do that this moment, this day. And that you'll empower your church and empower your people and empower your disciples. Yes, Lord. To reveal consistently and constantly the glory and the beauty and the character of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.